Shalom, this is Eli Rothberger. Welcome to our YPC Daf HaShavua Insights to the Daf series, where we can do a short little background and insight into the Daf HaShavua that we're learning. Our Daf this week is Maseches Sota Daf Tes, and the topic is there anything in common with Tutankhamun? Tutankhamun, of course, is King Tut. What we're going to be doing is discussing the status of a Ger Mitzri Bizman Hazeh. Now, what does this have to do with Sota? So let's go through a little bit of a background. It's a little lengthy, might take a couple of minutes, and then we'll get to the core of the issue of what we're going to be speaking about in today's shiur. Our Gemara goes through sources as to where we see the concept of Mida Kenegan Midas from. Ultimately, the Gemara brings down a set of three different psukim. Pasuk number one is, Bisasa'ah b'shal chatri vena. Literally, Bisasa'ah rings with a broom, but if you look at it, it's spelled the word, we can read it out as Sasa'ah, measure for measure. Justice will be bent out measure for measure. Now, the Gemara says, in the Sa'ah. I only understand if it's like a big amount. Minayin the Rabbos Tarkov, the Chatzi Tarkov, Kav the Chatzi Kav, Rov the Chatzi Rov, the Toman Vochla, smaller amounts. How do I know that we also see Mida Kenegan Mida in those aspects? Tamalom Rikikol Sa'on Sa'in Barash. Sa'on Sa'in is a smaller amount than a Sa'ah. And the Gemara finally asks, to Minayin Shekol Prutu Prutu Mitzvah Refes Cheshbon Gadol. How do we know that every little bit adds up to a big amount? Talmud Omer Achas LaAchas Limtzo Cheshbon. Okay, so we have three different psukim which tell us that there is a concept of Mida Kenegan Mida with bigger Averos, smaller Averos, and that everything adds up. Of course, once this has been done, the Gemara comes to ask, so why do we need three psukim to teach us the same concept? Couldn't we have learned it all out from one of them? So the Gemara responds on Daf Tes with the following. Why do I need the second pasuk? If we're going to know that every little bit adds up, why do I need this pasuk to tell us mida connected mida by small amounts? So the Gemara says, lechemida. No, that tells you that it should be exact. Meaning, let's give an example. Let's say somebody steals a little bit and goes and continues to steal and steal and steal. And finally, Hashem says it's enough, we're going to bring about the punishment. So the kamida would mean that somehow the punishment that they're going to have is going to be some type of a financial loss, as opposed to, let's say, a person goes ahead and goes to the hospital and gets appendicitis. Getting appendicitis, that's what you do with stealing. But over here, we're dealing with something having to do with stealing, so you'll have some type of a financial loss to counter the stealing. Okay, so that takes care of the first pasuk. But what about the first one? So we're already taking care of the second. We're already taking care of the third. What about the first? So that we see the Rav Chinen Bar Papa, the Rav Chinen Bar Papa, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nifrim and HaUma Atshat Shilucha, which tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending a message to Yeshaya that when a nation is going to be punished only when it uses up its amount of sins. Meaning a nation used up its amount of sins, then it's to be punished. But until that point, Hashem is not going to go ahead and give little bits of a punishment to here, and a punishment to here, and a little bit here, and a little bit here. This is actually contrary to what the Gemara says about Klal Yisrael, where Kadosh Baruch Hu actually punishes Klal Yisrael a bit at a time to avoid the situation of just like, you know, having everything and then ultimately getting destroyed, Chas V'Shalom. So this would be the idea of B'Sasa'ah Shalchat Revena, when the basket is finally full. So then Hashem is going to go ahead and bring the justice. So we have three ideas. Number one, the pasuk of Achas la'achas limtzo cheshbon tells us that all your averos will add up to like a punishment. Ki chol sa'on sowing birash tells you that the punishment is mida keneged mida. And b'sasa'ah b'shalcha terivena, that tells you that when it comes to punishing a nation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wastes the nation, quote unquote, he fills up his basket, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes in for the kill. So the Gemara counters with a question. And not that the concept is wrong, the concept is totally fine, except however we have there shouldn't be anything wrong with the concept per se, except the problem is the concept seems to be a little bit contradictory to what Rava brings down, which is a breaker. And Rava says, Eini va'amar Rava, shlosha kosos ha'amur of Mitzrayim lamali. What do the three cups that the Sar Hamashkim in his dream somehow signify? Right, because what happens in Sefer Bereishis is, Chazal tell us, is that yes, of course, the story happened and the story was relevant to Yosef, but these are not only relevant to Yosef, these are relevant to time immemorial and beyond. So the question is, what was learned out from that particular story? What relevance does it have to the future of the world and the future of Mitzrayim, the future of Klal Yisrael? So it says, Lama achas yeshasa b'mei Moshe. So each cup represents a cup of punishment that the Egyptians are going to be drinking. Meaning, there are three specific times when the Egyptians were punished. What were the three specific times? One took place in the times of Moshe. They got wallowed in Makos and second one is Achas. Sheshasa b'mei Paro Nechol. Second took place during the times of Nebuchadnezzar and Paro Nechol, where they got walloped by Nebuchadnezzar. And finally, Achas Sheasida Lishtos im Chaveroseha, that during the times of Mashiach, along with all the Egyptians, with all the Goyim, the Egyptians are also going to get walloped by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Punishes the Goyim for all the terrible things that they did. For all the terrible things that they did to the Jewish people over the years. So that's what we have over here. But the point is, you see that the Egyptians are not being punished at once, but there are three different periods in their history where the Egyptians are going to be punished. So the Gemara has a counter for that, and they ask, maybe the Egyptians or the Mitzrayim, the times of Paro Nechal, excuse me, and the Egyptians during Yemos HaMashiach are not the same Egyptians around as, same Mitzrayim as during Paro's time. So we have a Brisa which seems to counter this, as it says about Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Binyamin ger ha-mitzri ha-yel di-chaver mi-talmid de'i Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Yehuda says that Binyamin, the Egyptian ger, was a chaver of mine, was a contemporary of when we were learning Rabbi Akiva's shir together. Right? Just think about two people talking, says, oh, yeah, we were in Shiva, yeah, I went to Yeshiva the Mosul, yeah. So Rabbi Akiva's shir. And our ger mitzri, remember Binyamin ger mitzri, ani mitzri rishon, I'm a first generation Egyptian. Ben Asasi Mitzris Rishon. I also married a first generation Egyptian. Asilavni Mitzris Shnia. Let me go ahead and marry my son off to a second generation Egyptian. Kadeshia Ben Beni Mutar Lavo Bikal. Without getting into the technicalities, we know that there is an Isser mentioned in Parshas Kisese, which says, Lo Sisaiva Domi Kechichahu Lo Se Mitzri Kigera Yisa Berso. Do not mistreat an Adomi or does not mistreat an Egyptian. The third generation, they can go ahead and marry. Meaning, one's not allowed to go ahead and marry in a Mitzri immediately, but after three Doros, one could marry a Mitzri. What's the Gemara doing right over here? We're bringing down this Brisa to tell us that during the times of Binyamin, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, the concept or the Isser of marrying a Mitzri still applied. As Rashi points out in the four-word summary, Alma Adayin Mitzrayim. So the possibility of V'chisei Mahanach Azdu V'hani Achreinen who seems to be out. So therefore the Gemara gives an answer that Besas is really teaching us about kings and says that when a king goes ahead and finishes his, or, you know, uses up his, all his achuyas, his nine lives, then a Kaddish Baruch Hu goes ahead and punishes him. Okay. Fine, let's get back to this issue with the Ger Mitzri. From what our Gemara points out, is that there was a legitimate issue of Minyamin being marrying immediately. And the Isser of Dor Shlishi, or the, I guess you want to call it the Isser Asay, of Dor Shlishi, still applying at that time. And that's why the Gemara went on to a different shot. Now, halachically, there is an interesting implication, because the question is, do we accept this approach, lahalacha? Now, why wouldn't we accept it, lahalacha? Should it be a straight Gemara over here? The answer is because there's a Gemara that Tosfos quotes in Maseches Brachos, which says otherwise. The Gemara in Daf Chavches brings down a story where there was an issue between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim, Rabbi Yeshua specifically, about Rabbi Gamliel's treatment of Rabbi Yeshua, to the point where Rabbi Gamliel was ultimately removed, at least for a short period of time, from being Nasi, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah took his place.
The Gemara mentions in that story, Bo Bayom, Amar Yudah Germa, Amoni Lefnehem, Bevesa Medrash, Ve'amar Lehem, Mani Lavo Bekalashem. This guy named Yehuda, who was a ger from Ammon, wanted to know, could I go ahead and marry somebody else? I'm a ger Ammoni. And we know the Torah says, Lo yavo Ammoni Moavi b'kalashim. So I'm going to be Lo Sarata. I'm going to be Yeshua Mutarata. So, again, here we go. The two of them again going out and fighting, having a machlokas from Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. So, I'm going to be Gamliel, Lo ksiv Lo yavo Ammoni Moavi b'kalashim. I'll read correctly. Lo yavo Ammoni Moavi b'kalashim. Or translate to English, Lo yavo Ammoni Moavi. You can't do it. There's a straight state pasuk that says it. There's Abba Rabbi Yeshua, v'chi Amon Amod v'mekomon him Yoshvin. Come on, let's get real for a second.
Are they still there?
Yes, I know that there are people who are inhabiting those areas, but is this really the same Amon? Is this really the same Moad? The lo kvar Allah sancheriv Melech Asher, didn't sancheriv the king of Asher come? U'bil belas kol olam kulo, and basically mix everybody up. He had his resettlement policy. And he was mevalbel as a umos. And because he was mevalbel as a umos, the Gemara comes to this type of a conclusion, which tells us that the mice at the end of the day, all these halachas no longer apply. And instead, when somebody comes to be megayer, we apply the principle of the chol deparish, meruba deparish, that we view everybody as going after the rove. And since there's only a certain amount of umos where we can't marry from, we're going to assume that everybody who is coming to be Megayer is not from one of those umos. No. So, the question is, why is it that the Gemara goes ahead and accepts what Minyamin Ger Misri said, when you have this whole situation from the Gemara and Brachos, which seem to be saying that Sancheir of Cain was Mevabal the Umos, and we have no more issues anymore. So, actually, if we go ahead and look at Rashi on the Daf, Rashi in our Daf quotes this Gemara and writes the following at the end: Vachanami Kitani Basar Dach Milsa B'Tosef the Kedushin. In the Tosefta Kedushin, after this whole story is written in the following, Amr lo Rabbi Akiva, Minyamin, Ta'isa, Shekvar, Allah, Sancher, Vubilbil, you have made a mistake, Minyamin. Really, this Isser no longer applies. Furthermore, the Rambam in Isseri Bia, Perik Yud Beis, Halacha Chafei writes, Gisha Allah, Sancher, Melech Asher, Bilbil, Eskola Umos, Ve'irvim, Zeb, Zeb, Ve'iglo, Samim, Mekomam, Ve'elu, Mitzrim, Shev'eretz, Mitzrayim, Ata, Anashim, Acherim, Haim. Any Egyptians who are living there now are totally different people. I would say for sure now, or possibly now that they're totally Islamic and everything like that. It adds to the question even more. Again, I'm not going to paskin on it, but you definitely have that stronger argument. Everything is now mutar. And anybody who wants to go ahead and convert, the assumption is that they're from the Rov of the Umos. Remember, there are only four Umos, Amon, Moav, Edom, and Mitzri, that are Aser to accept Gerim from. So once you have that, we could assume that anybody else is coming from the other majority. L'fichach, kishe yisgayer hager b'zman hazeh b'chol makom b'in Adomi, b'in Mitzri, b'in Amomi, b'in Moavi, b'in Kushi, b'in Shar Umos. Echad is a chorim, echad is a nukevus, muta levo bekalmiyad. The Rambam is very clear. So aside from the fact that we can just go ahead and answer up the Gemara's question and go back and say, no, b'sasa'a b'shalchat rivena would apply to umos also, that's fine, you know, from a hashkafic level, but for halachic level, basically, what Rashi and the Rambam are saying is that our Gemara is not accepted, but rather we follow the Gemara in Brachos. Once Sancheir came, that's it, and there's no issue with marrying a ger from Mitzrayim today. However, Tosos brings down Rabbeinu Tam, who takes issue with this. And Rabbeinu Tam writes, Uperish Rabbeinu Tam, the Sancheir of Afapisha Bilbil is called Olam Kulo, Eretz Mitzrayim lo Bilbil. Somehow, a reason Sancheir stopped with Mitzrayim. As it says, Kirisib, the power of Necho, Belohosi for Melch Mitzrayim, let's say Smear, so Kilokach Melch Bavil, Minach Mitzrayim, and Nahar Pras, Alma Tosos says, Sancheir lo Bilbil. V'chitani b'seder olam yom sh'ala melech bavel eretz mitzrayim od lozav karosh aval amon bilbel. So you see that Tosfos actually disagrees with the Rambam and Rashi and holds that historically it did not happen to Mitzrayim. Which leads us to the following question. Does this halacha of an Isser of marrying a Mitzri apply today? Okay, so before continuing it though, we have to counter the sheet of Rashi and the Rambam. Clearly we have Sancheiruv coming being Mival Bili Umos. How would the other approach, this Tosfos approach, explain this fact that Lamaisa Sancheiruv was Mival Bili Umos? So what happened to Mitzrayim? How did Mitzrayim end up leaving? They automatically escaped? So the Tosfos Shans here brings down two answers. So first of all, B'yish lomer Sancheiruv lo bilbel usan shal Mitzrayim, What happened? He wanted to be involved and resettle all the people of Mitzrayim. Again, that was his whole concept. His whole concept was resettling people to go ahead and put his dominance. Because now when you don't have a nation anymore, they're not going to rise up against you. That was Sancheiruv's brilliant military strategy, and it worked. At least until he met Chizkiyahu. You know, he was able to go ahead and counter all the people, was able to counter Hashem. But what happens? Sancheiruv brings everybody to Mitzrayim. And once the Egyptians saw what happened, that Pesach night, all of a sudden, Sancheiruv's army just dropped dead literally. Hundreds of thousands of people died. They said, we're going back over here. So, that's one answer that you can say. And that's what Rabbeinu Tam can learn that, yeah, this is kind of what happened. It never happened because it was going to happen, and it just never happened. So therefore, you can go ahead and say, all right, they're the same halakhic status. Inami, or Tosfos Shans brings down a second answer. And the second answer that Tosfos Shans brings down is, Minyamin kishara shehiti Rabbi Yehuda leger Rabbi Yeshua leYehuda ger hamoni. The Amar lahem afani kimokin Amar lo liartzecha yish kitzva acher memshana kidechsid bekrog al bemitzrayim mekith shememshana ashiv lo veloin kitzva. Basically, what's this talking about? It says in the Sefer Yecheskel says in a pasuk parak of test psukim yud gimel and yedalel. Kiko Amar Hashem Elokim, Mikait Narboim Shana, after 40 years, Akabitas Mitzrayim in Amim Hashem Aflutisham, I'm going to gather up Mitzrayim from there. Vishavtiya Shivus Mitzrayim, I'm going to return the people of Mitzrayim, Vashivos Yosem Eris Pisros, Eris Nechurasam, the Hayusham Amachash Falah. So we see that Mitzrayim came back. So the two ways to understand the position of Reino Tam, either they came back times of Chizkiyahu, which again, I guess you can disagree with that or not, but also you have this pasuk which tells you that Hashem is going to bring back the people of Mitzrayim. So, if this is the case, what would Rashi and the Rambam say? After all, it's a Teferis pasuk in Yechezkel. How can they counter this pasuk? So, the Bach in Ibn Ezra Simen Dalid quotes a Smag who writes the following. I'll read it, then we'll explain it. Mikol makom Smag lavin kuf yudvav kasav hayin sham Rabbeinu Shimshon ishu shalayim She Nebuchadnezzar Chazar Ubilbulam, the Omdu Bilbulam Ad Hayom Hazeh. Meaning it goes like this. First, Tancher was Mevalbil. And then came Nebuchadnezzar and was Mevalbil again. The Navi, where it says that Hashem is going to bring back the Mitzrayim after 40 years, that is going on the Bilbul of Nebuchadnezzar. But the original Bilbul of Tancher, that still remains. Let's give a mashal to what this is. Like a person who went ahead and took vanilla ice cream and mixed it with chocolate syrup. You take vanilla ice cream and mix it with chocolate syrup, it's now some type of a combination. Then a person goes ahead and adds a little strawberry to the mix. Even if you get the strawberry out, the vanilla and the chocolate are still together, and you don't have your original. Here too, this is what the possible machlokas rishonim is. To what extent does the Nevuah of Yechezkel apply? Do we say it reverses what Nebuchadnezzar did completely, but does not touch what Sancheiruv did? That's how the Rambam is going to go ahead and learn it. Or does it even reverse what Sancheiruv did? Assuming he did something to Mitzrayim, and if that's the case, then there would be an issue of a ger mitzri today. Let's go ahead and bring one more nafkamina, and that is based on a pasuk in Halacha, which tells us lo sishivun baderech hazeod, which teaches us the isser of returning to live in Mitzrayim. Now, we happen to know that the Rambam lived in Mitzrayim, and there are many Jewish communities who lived in Mitzrayim as well for a long period of time, i.e. the Cairo Geniza, the Shulam Alexandria. So the question is, how is that possible? There's a state in Pasuk which says you can't do it. So the Smag explains that the Isser is not on the land or the borders of Mitzrayim, but rather means to live amongst those people in that location. Now, keeping with what we've been discussing, the Nafkamina is clear. If we view the Mitzrayim today as the real Mitzrayim, then it would be an Isser to live there as well. If not, then there would be no Shiloh. The Rambam, who lived in Mitzrayim, is consistent, because the Rambam is consistent with this view. The Rambam says that once Sancheiru came, there no more is an issue of Mitzrayim. And because there's no more of an issue of Mitzrayim, so we have no more of a problem. Now, Halach, it's interesting. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't want to take a stand. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Ha'idna, today, Nisbalblu kol umos lefichach amoni imo'avi ve'adomi sh'nisgayru mutarm lavo bekal miyad. The cold the parish, beruba the parish, and who told him Sharuv Umose Shemutaran, Miyad Laharambam, who adin la mitzri. So, what happens is the Shulchan Aruch says, oh, we're going to go ahead and say, we're going to rely on Sancheiru for not only the other nations, but also mitzri. However, well, the Rosh, mitzri be Yisuro Omeid, Shulchan Aruch says, at least in his time at least, that we continue to have mitzrim. Question is what we do today. It's a very good question. Practically, there are probably not too many Gerim from Islamic Egypt who are being Megayer, but it is a question that one needs to look into if such a situation comes up. Does the Isser Mitzri apply today or not? Kol Tov, have a wonderful week.